The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
Welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by the Masters Law Firm and also our friends at Parmar. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio today with Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the Goats joining us on the podcast today. So, gentlemen, as we wake up on this Sunday when we hit record, the West Virginia Mountaineers have knocked off the Pitt Panthers in the backyard brawl.
That was absolutely a good win. It was a good win, but to me, we are going to struggle.
Any win over Pitt's a good win, but I agree with Avon. But I don't care. They beat Pitt.
You guys are a little bit too much downers for me right now.
We beat Pitt.
We beat Pitt. All is right with the world once again. And I'm going to say credit to Neil Brown. His starting quarterback went down. He simplified everything, and he rode C.J. Donaldson to victory.
But why should we credit him when we've been talking about riding C.J. Donaldson all year long? It's not rocket science. We've said it over and over and over. Give that kid the ball and get out of the way. But I will say, the first touchdown that Nico threw, I love that play. I think it's a fantastic play. It's almost unguardable. So I really like that play. I really like that play call. But it wasn't it's no nonsense. Just give the ball to Donaldson. That's what you do. You ride your best player.
So, and I think, and I believe that's why he, our starting quarterback got hurt, is because the play calling. He called an RPO when he should have had the tight end block that backside in, and we would have gashed him for a 20-yard run. But no, he made it a read option, and it was terrible. It was his play calling yesterday was the absolute worst. I mean, even though, like you said, we rolled our backs and they did what they were supposed to do. To me, I just feel like we are in a situation. I mean, yeah, we won the game. I feel fantastic. I saw some great players that I haven't seen in a while. But at the same time, I'm like, we are in trouble.
Well, here's the thing. You got to remember, too, there's two things that happened yesterday. First of all, your starting quarterback goes down. That causes a big problem. And then second of all, you've got a problem because your backup quarterback only takes, what, 25% of the snaps?
Mm-hmm.
And that just shrinks your playbook. So basically, and it kind of what it signals to me is he doesn't trust Nico to get out there and throw the ball around. So he had to just be super vanilla and hand the ball off the entire time. I mean, I think they ran the ball, 36 times yesterday? I mean, both of the quarterbacks didn't even hit 100 yards. I mean, they were never at any point going to start throwing that ball around the yard.
Let me say this, though, about that. I'm completely fine with the conservative Absolutely. Way that they played because Pitt could not move the football. Pitt's quarterback's one of the worst players I've ever seen at the collegiate level in a Power 5 conference. I was thrilled with the conservative play calling because I want to run the football anyway. That's how you win games. If you get a two-possession lead, which West Virginia had for most of the second half, why risk it throwing it and turning it over? Run it. Run it until they stop you and prove that they can score a touchdown.
In my opinion, after those first couple series, Nico did settle in. He hit a couple of nice passes, a couple to Cole Taylor. He got Devin Carter one. And I think that play-action stuff is just going to get better and better if you stick with Nico, if you stay with this identity, which is a north-south run game with the ability to throw. I think Nico's a better passer than we saw last night.
West Virginia only threw 11 passes. 11 passes yeah, total. There was no point in throwing that football.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think, to me, with Nico as the head man running the show, it gives – It allows us to have an identity. When you have a young Baker Mayfield, I'm kidding, but when you have a guy like that who just thinks he can go out and sling it and he's not a very good passer, it puts us in a position for our offensive coordinator to think that we can do that. And we can't. The goal is to give that 240-pound running back the ball 35 times and allow him to get tired.
Yeah, I don't think Nico dominated by any means or even played well per se, but I want to see the same offense rolled out again. I want to see if there's a building block here.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to hold judgment on the play calling and on Nico until next week when we see him against Texas Tech, when they've got a week to scheme with him in the offense, because Garrett Green looks like he's got a high ankle sprain, and that takes, what, four weeks? So we're going to see Nico.
And not to mention, like I said, they were not going to risk it. I mean, there was no point. Pitt could not get – after the first possession, Pitt couldn't even get a first down. They were incompetent on offense all night. Credit the West Virginia defense, too. We've killed the secondary.
Right.
But they picked off a couple passes, set up the first touchdown, really got the team some momentum, and I felt made the biggest play of the game with the interception that was returned to the 7-yard line. But, like, there was no point to do anything other than run that football up the middle when they got a 2-possession lead.
We have bashed that defensive backfield to death, and I think it's because we've been a little hungover from last year. But this team, I think they've already got 5 interceptions on the season. Probably need 8. Probably could have been 7 or 8 with a few drops. And I think last year they only had like 10.
Yeah, if they're
5,
I'm fine. Like, they're going to give up big plays and things like that. But the thing is like, if they're going to do that, it's okay if they make big plays. Last night they made big plays. Like the biggest play, like I said, was the first interception. But if they force turnovers and make some big plays, it's okay to give up a big play here and there.
They made timely plays too. Burks picked that off right after the turnover, and then Beanie Bishop's was right after the touchdown. So it was good to see them take advantage of opportunities and play complimentary football. Those were all pressure-related interceptions too. Jerkovich had guys in his face all night, and it was Jerkovich that, you know, we'll reserve a little bit of evaluation there too.
Yeah, he was complaining about the Pitt fans booing him last week. Way too. They played home this week against North Carolina.
They're a 5-point underdog against North Carolina. I mean, after what I saw last night, I don't know how they score 5 points. And I don't see how North Carolina couldn't beat them by 30.
Let's back up for a minute. Let's go all the way back to the beginning of the day. And this should be the part that was at the actual top of the podcast.
You're right.
What a perfect day.
It was fantastic.
For football.
I saw several pictures on Twitter, even from the Goodyear blimp, by the way. They sent a couple out.
Did you see what it said on it?
I did not see.
It said Ice Cube's a pimp. That's for the old people.
But the day did look beautiful up there. It was packed. It was great to see. It looked like a great atmosphere.
Super packed.
Yeah, I mean, there was a picture of the blue lot I saw. I mean, there were people everywhere. That's fantastic. That's what that game brings. It brings excitement. Nobody's excited to see him beat Duquesne.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Now we'll see if they're excited to see him play Texas Tech. But it was just the perfect day for football. I mean, it was like 72 degrees. Game time, it was like 60, probably pushing 60.
It was super nice.
It was hot during the day.
If you were in the sun,
yeah,
I was back in a shaded area.
I got cooked a little bit, as you can see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what a cool day. And what I thought was great, and Avon, you can speak on this, was seeing so many of the guys that I haven't seen in years. I know you haven't seen a lot of these guys in years. The alumni football guys came back. I mean, just at our tailgate, right out the gate, the first person to walk up. I mean, I'm talking at 2 o'clock. Here comes Owen Schmidt. Then there's Owen. And then there's Joswiak, Chris Pecon. And just dude after dude just kept stopping by. Then Avon stops by later in the day. Who else was there? It was just good to see those dudes. Scooter Davis.
Yeah.
Rick Sherrod.
It was awesome. Like, and I was telling the guys earlier, I got to meet Adrian Moreau. I've never met him before, and he's a stone cold legend.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Johnson was there. Then I saw my brother Quincy. That was just a great, and I mean, he's back at Fairmont State doing his thing there. So it was just, that was probably the best part of the game, was just seeing the guys that you haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. and just being able to spend some time with them and just, you know, catch up. And it was like you said, that was probably the best part of the game for me, because when I watched the game and I saw Garrett Green. I saw Garrett Green overthrowing balls and throwing ball. I'm like, this this is terrible.
I saw a picture of Chad Johnson and Zach Abraham on Twitter.
Oh, were they?
They were there, which is phenomenal to see considering the 94 game. That's a great picture.
I know Mark Bulger was there. He was down the field. I didn't see him at all outside.
I didn't see him either.
I sat with Rich Braham.
Oh.
and we talked. That was an interesting conversation.
He was a dude.
Yeah, he still is.
He's a big old guy. Yeah.
Morty Ivey was sitting behind me. Chris Neild was sitting a couple seats down from me.
Neild was an NFLer.
He, him and Durrett are
about the same.
Yeah,
about the same
buddy, size. Yeah, they're big old dudes. You know. Yeah. But it was just really cool. You know. So, but anyway, it was just a. That, but it brings to my next point. This is why you schedule these games.
Right. Nobody gets anything out of Duquesne.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Everybody harps on that Duquesne. They added the 12th game to filter money to the smaller schools. So either they need to take it off the schedule if they're going to add more, or they got to, you know, but you're always going to get that crappy game.
Imagine what Penn State will bring next year.
Oh, yeah. It'll be packed again. You know, but they're going to start rescheduling these things. Like, I can actually foresee them moving the Pitt game after this game. I can see them pausing it for 2 years and moving it to the back end of the Alabama agreement.
With the way everything's going, you may have to. There might be like brand new schedules completely. Like everything maybe have to be made over with like Texas and Oklahoma leaving, and then all the new teams coming in. You might have a whole new schedule now.
I hope the Backyard Brawl definitely stays. It was kind of a throwback vibe. It felt like an atmosphere that hadn't been at Milan Puskar Stadium really at all in the last decade or so.
You know, they're ruining – they don't understand that, like, these games matter. Like, you know, West Virginia obviously don't want to see them go 1-11, but if you ask the fan base, hey, you look at this schedule and you tell me who the one game you want, it's going to be Pitt 1 and Penn State's going to be 2. That's going to be the two games you want to win the most. No one cares. I mean, it's not that no one cares, but Texas Tech's coming. Everybody's going to be worried about the Pitt game, talking about the Pitt game. Nobody cares about this game.
Yeah.
And kind of backing up, you know, my wife, I had my whole family there at the game, and it was awesome because second time ever, I saw my picture up on the up in the stadium.
Pillar, yeah.
And we all took a picture of it, and it was – to me, for my wife to see that, she was the first time she saw it. And just to see her face, it was, you know, just that family and my kids, it was their first Pitt game. And they didn't want to come at first. They were like, oh, I don't want to come. And then, you know, you catch them third quarter and just singing. And you know, they start, you know, they did the Sweet Carolina to start the fourth. And it was just.
Did Nova cover your ears like I taught her?
So my babies were looking like, Dad, what's going on?
Yeah, so before the game, I start like kind of messing with them, and I'm like, so Nova, who's the one that really kind of takes to me out of the four, and so I start talking to her, and I say, so when they start singing this song, and I'm singing it to her, I'm like, when they sing this part, after that, you put your fingers in your ears. So like 15 minutes later, they're all leaving, and I start going, sweet. And she's like, got her fingers in her ears. So I was wondering if during the game she covered her ears or not.
She actually went to sleep third quarter, so that was a good thing. But my older two, it was fun, man. It was fun. I just didn't like the football. It was fun, though. They were just into it, and I got one son that just loves to be on the computer, iPad all the time. And it was just – it. I mean, the atmosphere was great. It wasn't super cold. It wasn't – I mean, the weather was perfect, you know, smiling faces. I mean, I was sitting with Scooter Davis and Rick Sherrod, and I actually went down to see my offensive lineman who has a outstanding quarterback that possibly could be a Mountaineer. And then, you know, your sister had her stud, who's an actual quarterback as well, too, right?
Yeah, he's
an awesome baseball player as well. So
at the end here, I'll tell you guys a little bit about the visit. We're getting started about 3 hours late today over many things. One being that my nephew took an official visit West Virginia today, and we'll get into some of that. But one of the things I want to ask you guys about was, what'd you guys think about them not punching in a touchdown there at the end?
That, to me, was ridiculous. I'm like, go and score the points. Like, rub it in. Like, see, that's why he doesn't understand it. Like, he doesn't understand. Like, it's personal. Make it mean something. If you don't do that, then it's not going to – if you score that last touchdown, they're like, oh, yeah, we waiting on you. So when they're waiting mm-hmm. on you, now you know, like, okay, I got to be ready for this mm-hmm. next time we play, because we try to run it up on them.
Maybe they considered the Ruffin interception like the big exclamation point on the night, and it was just kind of like, let's get out of here.
That's soft, man.
Punch it in.
You score that touchdown, then you know what you do? Go for two.
Yeah.
Because you can't go for three.
Well, yeah. You know, there was two things. One, I thought, first I was like, just kick the field goal, because then you're safe. And then I thought, well, then if they block it, I knew it was going through his brain. If they block it and run it back, then they get the onside kick and score, you know, that type of stuff. But just running a tail, like right up the middle with the tailback, and then daring them to, I don't know. I mean, yeah, for me, punch it in one more time.
I'd like to have seen a touchdown myself.
And then dance a little bit. You know.
Rub it in a little bit.
Yeah, something. Give us something.
You know.
I was hoping that, you know, it would – I mean, knowing who we played again, we played a very bad Pitt team, and you know, knowing that we were, you know, we're not great, but we were better than them.
Does it bother you that they're bad?
No. Hang on.
Absolutely not. Like,
how many bad Pitt teams has people though that are like our age? When's the last time you saw a fantastic Pitt football team?
2002. In person, like fantastic. Against West Virginia?
I'm talking about, like, when's the last time you looked at Pitt and you said, that team right there is a legit national title contender?
Basketball, maybe 2012, I don't know.
I mean, not
national championship contender. I've seen some good ones. Teams of Rutherford and
but they
Fitzgerald.
Weren't a national title contender. They were really good. They were good. But yeah. I'm talking like Pitt used to win national titles or be national title level back when they got Marino and guys like that. But
before Kennedy was assassinated.
but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, to me, West Virginia has been much better than Pitt my whole lifetime.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they try to bring that point up, the overall record, but most of those victories are, like, literally from the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Like, they won, like, the first – it was stupid. They were, like – they had, like, a 10-game head start back from 1930.
Yeah.
And then we got good.
Leather helmets.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, he said a very bad Pitt team, and it just made me think, though, we've seen so many very bad Pitt teams. I don't even know if this is the worst one we've seen. That's the worst quarterback we've seen, yeah. For sure.
No, I mean, this team that
I don't know
played.
That Tino Censori was pretty bad.
Todd said him too. My brother spoke to him last night. Said this guy's worse than Censori. That's what he said.
I mean, the one from the game we don't talk about. They were pretty bad. It's a rivalry game. Anything can happen.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. Like you, regardless if they're good or bad, like this team is like Duquesne bad. Like they weren't very good at all.
Their quarterback is one of the worst college football players I've ever
tell
seen.
Tell them how you really feel.
That's a complete agreement. I do not know. He started his career at Notre Dame, went to BC, now he's at Pitt. I mean, he is 10-32 last week. What was he? 8-20 or something last
20,
night.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. He is bad.
It was funny. In the post-game press conference, they asked Beanie Bishop about the secondary stepping up, and he was trying to give, like, a professional answer, and he was like, their quarterback, like, we knew going in that their quarterback wasn't very good at doing his job, and, like, he tried to say it differently, but there's no other way to say it.
There's
terrible.
He is bad.
It is what he is. He sucked.
Yeah, he's bad.
Even people in my section were like, this quarterback's terrible.
If you didn't even watch football and you turned that game on, you'd be like, man, this guy sucks.
Right. He doesn't step into any throws. Like, as soon as there's pressure, he just lobs it straight vertically.
I wonder if we should buy, like, some of his shirts. He makes some NIL money. He comes back next year.
Djokovic? hit up the trust.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the Big 12. Man, I tell you what. You know, we talk about West Virginia possibly struggling this year. West Virginia can be below average and still win 7 games in this league this year. This league is struggling.
Yeah. I'll tell you who's not struggling is Oklahoma. Uh-huh. Oklahoma looks very good.
Okay, I'll take that.
Texas and Oklahoma look like the Red River rivalry is going to be a collision course of undefeated
we don't play
teams
Texas.
Right now. I know, I'm just saying though, we're talking about and those two teams are leaving. Now the remaining of the conference is not looking good.
Oh, I don't have a schedule posted, but even on our schedule,
Our Big 12 was bad.
I mean, Kansas struggled to beat Nevada last night. They were a 27-point favorite.
Jalen Daniels
played. He played, and they won 31-24. TCU blew out Houston. BYU got a win against Arkansas. That's a good win.
That's a good win.
Yeah. Somebody else, Oklahoma State.
Got boat raced.
South Alabama went to Stillwater and just crushed Oklahoma State.
They don't have a quarterback.
Baylor's not looking good.
I think Oklahoma State played three quarterbacks yesterday. Yeah,
well, none of them can play then.
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
So when I look at this schedule, this is the league literally helped Neil Brown out. They're like, all right, we're going to take these guys off your schedule, give you these other clowns.
Oh, yeah.
And then hopefully you can win 7, 6, 7, 8 games. You know, what's going to happen, though, they're going to end up in like the Camping Bowl against, who do they play against? What league? The ACC.
That's in Orlando.
You know, they'll play against the ACC, which will be like the fourth place ACC, and then we'll end up like playing the Hurricanes.
Clemson.
Or Clemson. Yeah. And then, you know, how that's going to play out. But, yeah, man, I mean, the schedule's set up for them to be successful in the league. So now you have to beat Texas Tech, right? The monkey, you have to get that monkey off your back, because you want to talk about losing momentum. Go and drop lay an egg next weekend at home. Hmm. And that's because, I mean, think about it. You have an opportunity to go to be 3-1. 3-1. When's the last time West Virginia was 3-1?
Don Nealon. No.
It's no, been a minute.
It's been a little bit.
So you have an opportunity to go to 3-1 with, I don't even know who's left. Then you're going to go play a bad Houston team, I think. You have an opportunity literally to go on a little run here.
I think they play TCU before Houston. I think it's Texas Tech, TCU, then at Houston on a Thursday night.
So they have an opportunity here. Yeah, Texas Tech, TCU, Houston. So, you know, if you can get Texas Tech, go to 3-1, flip a coin against TCU, and then beat Houston, people are no longer – the website that I own, FireNeilBrown.com/WV.
He said the website that I own.
is no longer valid, you know. People are not screaming for your head.
No, his days are numbered, man. We all know that. Regardless, I mean, because if you watch how he did the press conference, or after, not even after the press conference, when he talked on the field, he wasn't fired up because he knew, he was like, yeah, we won, but we are terrible.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it could have been concerned with
because my first thought would have been instantly like, oh, what's wrong with CJ Donaldson?
Yeah,
because they were reaching up his leg, which says what?
Knee,
Achilles.
Knee, Achilles. I mean, again, to me, I feel like he's not confident in what we have.
I'm glad you bring that up. Another thing that he does is he acts like when West Virginia wins, all prior criticisms were completely ridiculous. Like, there was one point he said, yeah, we gave up a few plays against Duquesne. You guys were all flipping out about it. And then there was another one immediately reacting to the game. I forget exactly what he said, but the gist was...
Did you gut punch him this week?
I did not. It was about his assistants. He was like, finally, like, my assistants get to take a week off from all the criticism. They hear it all the time. It's like, yeah, obviously they hear it.
You make $250 an hour.
But that's the thing. Like, you're making all, like, you're supposed to, like, Nick Saban heard criticism last week. He's won 6 national championships. If you're in that position and you're making that kind of money, you're going to hear it. Like, you've got to block it out.
Yeah, when you're in that tax bracket, I don't hear it from you.
Yeah, just retire if you don't like it.
That being said, the ask against Pitt is extremely simple. It doesn't matter what it looks like. He got the job done.
He won. Exactly.
He did.
Just beat Pitt.
Yeah.
So Texas Tech rolling into town next week. What do you guys think?
Malachi Ruffin, 6-year player, is the only one on the squad that's ever beat him.
The only player. Wow.
I don't like our chances. I mean, I don't. There were still guys open in the secondary last night. I'm not trying to criticize or be critical or anything.
That's what we're here for. Don't worry about it.
But I'm just saying, though, I hate to pick on the secondary. But there were still issues within that defense that you could see, and their glaring weaknesses. They're going to come out at some point. Texas Tech's a little bit more formidable than Pitt on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I think West Virginia will have a hard time slowing them down. Should be a good game, though. Should be an entertaining game.
I don't know. I mean, I don't believe in our quarterback. I don't believe that
Avon's
we will
not
run
climbing.
The ball.
He's not climbing.
I don't believe we're going to run the ball. I think Neil Brown is going to try to make Markiel a Heisman candidate, and we have a Heisman running back if we feed him the right way, and if he can stay on the field.
Right, like he was kind of forced to play call that way last night? Will he do it on his own? Will he keep it simple on his own?
I don't believe that he will. And with that said, I don't. I mean, I'm never going to go against my boys. I just don't. I'm not confident that we can do it. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm going to say we're going to win because I feel like we have an opportunity. If we're on the field, we can win. I just don't believe that this guy will put us in the best position to do it.
And the thing is he hasn't beat Texas Tech yet. It's plain and simple. Until he does it, you can't believe it.
A few times, too, when Texas Tech was pretty poor.
Yeah.
So
the offensive line's got to play way better than last year, too.
Yeah, which they have been.
Yeah,
I'll give them that. I think our defensive line's been the talk of the town here lately, man.
But, I mean, they've been balling, though.
Yeah, I'll take it. We need it. So what may be late today, and my apologies formally to the guys here sitting with me, was went over to West Virginia baseball this morning. First of all, you've been to Hollyfield?
No, I've never been in. I've seen it. It's phenomenal. Yeah.
No, Hollyfield, the old baseball field.
Oh, no.
I went to a camp there.
I have no idea
where
that is.
It's literally beside the Coliseum, the baseball field beside the Coliseum.
I've never been there.
That looks like the Little League team probably plays on it.
I've never been there.
That's where West Virginia played the entire time. It's literally a baseball field with like some high school bleachers.
In the Big East days.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to a camp there. Not very impressive.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's literally... It's
I know where the track is.
Yeah, beside the track.
I don't even know. I've never seen it.
Yeah, there's a baseball field over there that they played for years until they built a stadium. And let me tell you, this stadium is a huge, huge upgrade. It's first class.
Oh, that stadium. So we actually drove by it. I went to the game, obviously, and we drove by it this morning trying to go find something to eat. That stadium is beautiful. I mean, the logos on it, the seat. I mean, it is a beautiful facility. And I ain't even been inside. I just saw it from driving by. And when I was inducted to the Hall of Fame, we stayed in the Marriott right across from it. Mm-hmm. And
courtyard.
Just beautiful. Just a beautiful facility.
Yeah, so it's first class. And obviously, so just for the listeners, and I think I can say some of the stuff. So West Virginia's offered my nephew, who is David Upchurch's son.
That is a no-brainer.
Obviously, yeah. So, you know, so it sounds weird when I talk about him because obviously he's my nephew and I think hopefully he's the first-round draft pick. But he's an impressive kid when you see him in person. You met him yesterday.
Yep.
When you see him, he physically backs up what people monster. Say about him. He's 16 years old. He's what, 6'4", 6'3"?
He's
a downward tilt that makes you throw the baseball.
He can bring it. He throws like 93, you know. Mm-hmm. So West Virginia's offered him. He was he was a former Maryland commit. He committed when he was in 9th or 10th grade to Maryland. And, you know, my thing to him was I don't care if you stay at Maryland, but just go and visit other schools because mm-hmm. there's so much out there.
Sure.
You know, and they got on him a little early because they were able to catch him at a tournament when he was younger and he performed really well. In-state guy. And I don't want to speak for Miles, but I will say that I think he really enjoyed his visit today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think West Virginia will be in the mix for sure.
Might have an ex Shohei Ohtani, too. Hits, too.
He hits. I don't know if he'll continue to hit at the next level. He can hit, though.
He told me 380 yesterday.
Yeah. So,
wow.
You know, we'll see. Man. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping.
And I saw him at the game, and, you know, he's sitting there with his mom and his dad and sitting across from Terry Dixon, the offensive lineman I talked about, and Terry's son, who's actually a quarterback.
Yeah.
And
is his name Jalen? What's his name? What's his son's name?
Jalen is the older one.
Okay.
His quarterback, the son, is
a hell of a quarterback.
Yeah. He was actually at the Penn State game when Penn State played WVU. He was visiting
Penn State.
Yeah, he's visiting Penn State.
Well, West Virginia doesn't want him if he's visiting Penn State. He's not good enough.
Absolutely not. So
is he left-handed?
No, he's right-handed.
Well, I don't know who I'm thinking about.
So sitting there, you know, just and I observed him observing me while I was speaking with his dad and you know my the offensive lineman Terry, and I'm talking about Miles. I saw him observing me, you know, having those conversations, and I think that portion of it. I don't know if he got that at other places because obviously their parents went to WVU, mm-hmm. and that, just that love that. that comes back. I seen him observing me as I was, you know, excited to see their, you know, his parents, because mm-hmm. I haven't seen him in a while. And, you know, just to see that, I'm like, man, I hopefully we'll get. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't want your nephew. I want him to go to the league and go first round as I think he should. I mean, he's a specimen, like 6'4", you know, just a good looking ball player. And I'm like, look, you know, don't come to WV. Go get that money. But I'm hoping from that interaction that we had, he understands what West Virginia is about.
Mm-hmm. You're starting to see more high draft picks go the college route, too. Louder for the Cincinnati Reds, the first-round draft pick this year for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Both college guys out of LSU and Wake Forest. I don't know if it's NIL money mm-hmm. or just the development system acting differently.
And I'll tell you what they told us today that really had me thinking. Because at first you start thinking, well, if this kid's a third, fourth, fifth-round pick, he's still going to go get that money. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, what the point that West Virginia pointed out to us this morning was like, that's fine if you want to go get the money, but you got to think about where you're going to develop. And do you want to go in, when you come to college, you can still develop and be a college kid, but when you go to the pro system, you have to perform mm-hmm. instantly. There's no adjusting to adulthood. When you're in that minor league system, you're living with hosts, parents, and living on mattresses, like on the floor. So you're what it is now with this new NIL stuff and the lifestyle that college kids can lead. Do you go get that $400,000, you know, and then you got to kind of, and that's it for you? Or do you go to college and get the NIL stuff and develop there and then come out and get, and then move up?
That's a great point. When I say go get money, I forgot about the NIL. I mean, obviously, I didn't have it when I played.
They owe you a few bucks.
So thinking about it, I'm like, why would – I mean, now can we go get in our pockets and pay this man, you know, $500, $1 million to come to WVU?
There's college football players right now making more money than Joe Burrow quarterbacks.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, but and those markets will support it. And will WVU be able to support – you know, his young man coming.
I'll say they did everything right officially on the record. They did not. We had no financial conversations. The offer from the scholarship has been sent to my sister, but there were no financial kickback type conversation. So West Virginia's doing it right.
That's not a kickback. That's a part of the negotiation now, in my opinion.
But I don't think the coaches can have that conversation.
I don't think it can't come from coaches. It's got to come. That's got to come from like the booster or there's like a
there's a process.
I don't know.
I wasn't a part of it again, guys.
The compliance department, I think, has to handle how the NIL works. But if West Virginia doesn't offer him good NIL, I guarantee you there's going to be some other schools. If LSU's interested, they'll have something for him. If Alabama's interested, they'll have something for him, because those schools down there in the South especially take baseball very serious.
I don't like to get into my family's business, but I will tell you that Central Florida offered him money that I was like, well, I'm going now too.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody will have a package for him.
And I mean, he deserves it though. I mean, I follow the family, because, you know, his sister is, you know, she's my sister. I see her on Facebook. I mean, we went to school at the same time, and she's in the Dominican Republic with him. She's in California with him, you know, sharing that he's the number 16 player, or maybe even more than that, you know, 16 player in the country. I'm like, number 16 in the country. If they're not coming with a package, that's stupid. And again, in my mind, go get the money. You know, meaning I forgot about the NIL. Now we might not get them because of there's a financial component that these schools make.
I mean, and I don't want to speak for Miles or his mom and dad, but I will say one thing that I said to him was, It's not about today's payday. It's about long term, and it's about life after baseball. So I was trying to get him to see the big picture in the recruiting game. And, you know, yeah, it's great to get a payday today, but what if you go somewhere and get this and you don't play you?
Please go on an official visit to Southern California before you commit to anywhere. Please.
Well, I don't like to speak for him, but I'm not too sure he's a big fan of being too far away from home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I didn't say he had to go there. I said just take a visit.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was neat. That was neat. I've been a part of those before, but on the other side.
Right.
Because I used to help Coach Beeline recruit basketball guys. He used to bring him to the studio. And I was involved in the Jason Gwaltney recruitment in some form or fashion. So I've seen that part of it, but it was neat to be on the flip side of it. And Randy Mazey, first-class guy.
Yeah, he's a stand-up.
He came in and talked to him, and he was like, you know, I'm not going to get to coach you, but – and they, you know, they kind of talked about the transition between him and Coach Sabins, and it was great. You know, I think they did a great job recruiting my nephew today. So kudos to the West Virginia baseball team. So, well, I think that's all I want to talk about. You guys have anything else?
I'm good.
Other than I was late as hell today?
Yeah, well, I was late 2 weeks ago, but I wasn't this late.
This is my last one.
I wasn't this late. I'm like, Lord, let's go.
All right. Well, thank you guys for checking out this week's Touchdown City podcast. Don't forget, check out your favorite podcast platforms. Hit subscribe. And also, later in the week, we will be uploading the radio version of the show. And then we will have an interview from Charles Emanuel talking about the 93 team. So thank you guys for checking out the Touchdown City show. Check everything out at touchdowncity.com. We'll catch you guys next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.